If your fondest memories of 2003 include a box of popcorn or Junior Mints, you probably have your own idea of the best movies of the year. Our entertainment commentator Elvis Mitchell certainly has his, and he joins us from our studios in Los Angeles. Elvis, thanks for being with us. Happy New Year.
And to you, Scott.
You don't need no stinking top 10 list, do you?
Well, I guess I'll just throw some away now. Forget about it. Top 10 list. Who's that kind of stuff?
Elvis, what did you see this year that impressed you?
There's so much stuff, and that's actually the problem with making a top 10 list, that there are so many movies. And once you get past that first five that really mean something, you know, the movies that make a big impression, then it gets to be kind of tough. But what's kind of wonderful about all these movies we're going to talk about here today is that many of them, in either dark or light sense, have a real sense of fable, of real storytelling, which I think is missing from a lot of mainstream movies. A movie I was really impressed by is basically sort of about the demi-monde of immigrants in London, directed by Stephen Frears, called Dirty Pretty Things. It's a remarkable kind of a social document and a drama as well.
This was my favorite film. The strong sense of narrative, the feel for immigrant London society. We have a clip. Audrey Tautou playing the young Turkish immigrant Sanai has just arranged to sell her kidney so she can get money to move to the United States. And her friend, a Nigerian doctor, so beautifully played by Chiwetel Ejiofor, tells her this is very unwise.
You keep away from Senor Juan!
It is like taking out a tooth.
He's lying, Sanai! Because you are poor, you will be gutted like an animal. They will cut you here, or they will cut you here. They will take what they want and leave the rest to rot.
One of the laundry girls did it, and now she's free.
Others are dead, Sanai!
So, they are free too.
As the movie really notes beautifully and subtly, it's a kind of culture that people don't pay any attention to. It's the underground culture of the surface culture of London. The hotel waiters, the hotel managers, the cab drivers, the laundresses, and just the way they have to all sort of scramble at two or three jobs to keep their lives and their bodies and soul together. And this was a movie I saw last year at the Toronto Film Festival I was very excited about. And there was another movie I saw last year at the Toronto. In fact, I guess it's a big ad for the Toronto Film Festival. A movie by a director named Nicky Caro from New Zealand called Whale Rider. That's, like another sort of a fairy tale, and I hate to use the word empowerment to describe a movie, but it's basically about a little girl who's part of a tribe, a Maori tribe, who, because she wasn't born a boy, she's basically been sort of ostracized by her grandfather. It's about her sort of coming to terms with who she is, and the picture has so much, I think, kind of such a quiet weight, and even this clip we're about to play will illustrate what I'm talking about.
This speech is a token of my deep love and respect for Koro Apirana, my grandfather. My name is Pakia Apirana, and I come from a long line of chiefs stretching all the way back to Hawaiki, where our ancient ones are. The ones that first heard the land crying and sent a man, his name was also Pakia. And I'm the most recent descendant. But I was not the leader my grandfather was expecting, and by being born, I broke the line back to the ancient ones. It wasn't anybody's fault, it just happened.
That was Keisha Castle Hughes playing the young Maori girl named Pai. This is a very powerful film.
Yeah, but it's also a really sunny disposition film, too. I mean, we shouldn't try to make it seem like it's so much melodrama. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's melodrama here, and the movie isn't afraid of it, but there's also earned sentiment here, an honest sentiment. And what we get from Whale Rider is actors immersing themselves in the pleasure of getting a chance to act. There are so many people in this movie. There's an actor named Cliff Curtis who usually plays like the third Iranian terrorist or the second Mexican terrorist. And he's a New Zealander. And you can see his pleasure in getting a chance to sort of speak in his own accent. He's Pai's father who abandons her. And there's another plot point we won't give away here. But just the enormous amount of relish he gets in the role is communicated to us. And I think that's something that these movies all have in common. And I think this other movie we're going to talk about is really about performance. Because in some other ways, it's a little lacking. It's a great piece of debut directing by Patty Jenkins, and stars of all people as the serial killer Eileen Wuornos, Charlize Theron. The movie is Monster. This is the one I did not see at the film festival, but it's worth its weight in gold anyway, because I think what people forgot about Charlize Theron is that she is an actress, mm-hmm. and she'd been at this for so long and hadn't had that kind of breakthrough success that makes you a superstar, that she'd gone from being an actress to a starlet and was probably a heartbeat away from doing a very special episode of Scrubs or something like that. But this movie came to her, and she latched onto it, and there's a kind of a desperation and anxiety that she's not afraid to show. She transforms herself physically, so when you first see her, it's shocking because mm-hmm. she looks nothing like Charlize Theron and moves nothing like Charlize Theron.
Charlize Theron, playing Eileen Warrenos, the highway prostitute and convicted murderer, recollecting why at the age of 13 she began to pick up men.
I heard that Marilyn Monroe was discovered in a soda shop, and I thought for sure it could be like that. So I started going out real young, and I was always secretly looking for who was going to discover me. Was it this guy? Or maybe this one? You never knew. But even if they couldn't take me all the way, like Marilyn, they would somehow believe in me just enough. They would see me for what I could be and think I was beautiful. Like a diamond in the rough.
It's maybe not a great year in movies, but there's been so many interesting trends. Been a great year for women directors. You look at Lost in Translation, or two of the movies we talked about here.
Sofia Coppola's film, yes.
Yes, and we talked about Whale Rider, which is directed by Nikki Caro, and Monster, which is directed by Patty Jenkins. There's also Something's Gotta Give, directed by Nancy Meyer. Mm-hmm. And then I think maybe this will be the kind of year that will make people sit and take notes and say we can't sort of leave women out anymore.
Elvis, thanks very much.
Thank you, Scott.
Elvis Mitchell, who reviews films for The New York Times.